Welcome to another episode of Retro Resistance, or as it's better known as by Andy.
Things like that.
That's show. I'm your host, Mark Knight 76. This is episode 18, and today I'm joined by...
Asperger's Gamer 64.
Hi, you alright, Will?
Yeah, I'm alright. How about you, Malk?
I'm not too bad, thanks. A bit nervous about this, because this is about the third time we've tried recording. Because we recorded one, and it didn't record half of it, did it?
No.
Well, even less than that. And then I was due to do one with Potty Boy... And he hasn't been online yet. Blame it on his Mac.
Every time Jenny comes online when we move by to Skype, she always keeps saying to Andrew, buy a damn PC.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I've never used a Mac, to be totally honest, so I can't really...
No, because I never really grew up with Macs anyway, because I never knew Mac even existed.
No, and they're mega expensive for what they are.
I know, but £1,000.
Yeah, because my mate's got one. In fact, my little brother's got a, a laptop sort of one. I can't remember what it's called. Yeah, they have to get that as stupid now. And I've had a look at it, and I just can't... It's nothing like Windows, and I'm used to Windows, so...
Yeah, but same here. I grew with Windows since Windows 3.1.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just wonder what you've been up to lately.
Well, I just finished watching Kamen Rider Kuga, then I've... recently watching Kamen Rider Agito, and I've been recently playing this really good Half-Life 2 mod called Black Mesa, which is basically a reimagining of the first Half-Life game.
Oh, right, that's pretty good. Is that on a PC?
Yeah, it's on the PC. You gotta have Half-Life 2 and you download the game from the Black Mesa website.
Oh, right, yeah. I'll have to get Half-Life 2. I've got the first one somewhere.
But don't worry, the Black Mesa game's free. But unfortunately, if you're looking for a full experience, you probably have to wait till next year, because unfortunately, the only goes up to Exxon when he goes through the portal.
Oh, right.
And there's no deathmatch as well, so...
No.
So you have to wait till next year.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
But after... I've seen it, see how far they've actually got. I'm really, really impressed. I've been really impressed with it.
Yeah, I always thought Half-Life. I thought it was a lot more to it than a lot of those sort of games, which I won't mention which one I'm on about, that don't really have any, nothing new to them.
No.
But yet they still sell a lot. Anyway, myself, I've been playing a lot of Tekken games, because originally we were going to do a podcast on Tekken, weren't we?
Yeah, but we were all over the place.
Yeah, and then, as I said earlier, it didn't record. It only recorded a minute, and yet we'd done over an hour. I think we'd done about an hour and a half or something, nearly.
Yeah.
So we had to scrap the whole thing, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then we decided we'll do this one together, and then leave the other one, and I'll do that separate with Potty Boy, but because he hasn't been on yet.
No.
I haven't got around to doing it. Apart from that, otherwise, with modern gaming and, retro gaming, I played the remake of Double Dragon Neon, and... It's a good game. It's not brilliant, and it's nothing really like Double Dragon. Nothing whatsoever like it.
Does it have online or?
No, it doesn't, and that's the biggest con, because when it was in development, there's loads of videos on YouTube that claim that it's going to have online. On the 360 or PS3, and apparently on neither has got online. So
I just hate it when they do that. When you hype you up for it, they always say, "Oh, there's going to be online when it comes out." No, we don't.
No, and that's another bad thing as well, because unless you've got, people physically next to you in your house or whatever playing the games with you, say like Andy or other people off the site or Swainy or whoever or Glenn, if you play online like on Ninja Turtles, you can play together and that's great.
Yeah.
Whereas if a game hasn't got that online feature, it completely ruins it. I don't see why they release games like that in this day and age,
Yeah, because, come on, everybody can get internet cheaply now anyway. Broadband's fast. Broadband's really fast, but internet connection is getting faster every year.
Exactly, yeah. And just not having actual online gameplay for a game like that is completely stupid.
But I'm hoping one day they'll re-release the Resident Evil Outbreak series.
Yeah, I think... Which one was that? Was that the one on the PS2?
Or yeah. Because when it was released in Japan and America, they had an online feature, but the first one didn't over here. But when the second one came out, it did. But I think it was a good idea at the time, but I think it's the right time to re-release in a HD version now.
Oh, yeah, they're really popular re-releasing, they've done it with Silent Hill, Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, yeah. Speaking about Metal Gear Solid, you can actually download it for the PlayStation Store now.
Oh, the original?
No, all the original and the free HD ones.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Definitely worth downloading if you've...
Yeah, definitely worth downloading.
Yeah, I've got the... obviously got the collection, like we said on that show. and they are. I think they have aged really well. You know, they're still really playable.
Oh yeah.
It's a shame you can't get the first one though. But I have actually got the original disc on the PS1, and I'd say Metal Gear Solid is probably one of the best ones.
Oh yeah. You know, in Metal Gear 3, when you get hit by that arrow by the fear.
Yeah.
But originally, you know, he forgot to say.
Oh yeah.
He forgot to say that about the poison and all that, but also the poison will give you an erection as well.
Yeah.
But they forgot to mention that. So that Brazilian whatever spider it was gives you an erection before you die.
Yeah, I'd never do that.
Yeah, I found it on that Did You Know Gaming.
Yeah, because it does have quite a few facts on that in those games, don't it, about different things.
That's one thing. I know we're supposed to get on with our main thing, but that is one thing I do like about the Metal Gear series. They're always accurate sometimes. Well, more than accurate.
Yeah, and those drugs he takes to stop him shaking, diazepam,
yeah.
they are proper drugs as well.
Stops you from shaking. You stop your sniper from shaking.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This week's show, we're going to talk about the Super Mario Brothers games.
Yep, we are. We're going to talk about the first three, the first one. The second one, also I'm going to talk a bit about the Japanese one and our version as well, and also Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll start from the start, and the first Super Mario Bros. Game. Came out in 1985. I first originally played it on the actual arcade. It was called Versus Super Mario Brothers.
Some Nintendo games did actually get arcade releases, like the Player Choice 10, and also these Versus arcade machines as well, during the 80s as well.
Yeah, that's right. I think the Versus ones came out before the Player Choice. Mm. And that was something that, as I've said on videos I've done, podcasts I've done in the past with Benway and that, I'm not a massive fan of the NES. But I did own one, and that was the game that sold it to me. Because I originally played it in the arcade, and then I seen a NES version, and me being stupid at the time because I was only a kid, Yeah. I thought that's exactly the same as the arcade, which it was.
Well, you didn't know, did you?
Because no.
Well. Yeah, but it was. It pretty much like the Super Mario Brothers completely saved the North American market after the video game crash of 1983.
That's right, yeah, that's right. And with clever marketing by Nintendo, yeah, and their policy that if you stock our product and it don't sell, we'll buy it back off you. Mm. And that way, they managed to get the video game market going again.
Yeah, apparently it sold over 40.23 million copies worldwide as of 2003, but it was recently suppressed by Wii Sports, that sold 79.18 million.
God, that's a lot. What is the most highest selling video game?
Well, I don't know. As far as I know, Wii Sport is the highest selling Nintendo game at the moment.
Oh, right, bloody hell.
But Mario Brothers was the highest selling game.
Doesn't Wii Sport come with a lot of Wii, so just in the pack?
Yeah, it comes free with it.
Ah, right, yeah. That's Wii Sports is pretty good as well.
They did that with Super Mario Brothers, didn't they? That came with...
the NES, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then later they did different packing games.
Yeah, they did one.
That horrendous Ninja Turtles one. The first one, which I don't really
like. We've already talked about that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, anyway, Super Mario Brothers came out in Japan on September 13th of 1985. It came out in America November 17th, 1985, which basically, I said before, it saved the American gaming market. And it came out to the European shores in 1987 on May 15th.
Yeah, that was... Because we always get them last, don't we?
Yeah, we always do. It's quite weird. There was this policy about the Nintendo at the time. They only could release so many games a year. So that's why Konami had to create shell companies like Palcom and Ultra Games. They were a Konami company, but they were shell companies so they could release more games.
Which is a good way around it, really.
Because yeah, you only could release like five games a year.
And Nintendo done that sort of system, so... in a way, to eliminate against crap games, giving the developers more time to develop for them, so they wouldn't flood the market with basically crap.
That's what happened to the Atari.
Even though that does sometimes, that has happened, there's a lot of crap NES games, but there's bound to be, aren't there?
Oh, well, obviously, isn't there? Every console has a crap game.
We could do a show on that one time in the future. We'll have to get Tony on that one as well, though, definitely.
Pigs like this, pigs like that.
God. Talk about the Bible NES games.
Oh yeah, because they had the lockout chip as well, didn't they? Same with the Super NES, but companies got around it.
Yeah, some companies.
And the first outing for Mario was before Super Mario, wasn't it? He was on Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
he was called Jumpman on that.
Yeah, he was called Jumpman at the time, because basically originally Donkey Kong was originally meant to be a Popeye game, but that never came to be. So they decided to change Pluto into Donkey Kong, change Olive to Pamela, and Popeye to Jumpman, which is known as Mario to this day.
Mm, that's right. I didn't know it was originally meant to be a Popeye game.
It was, but they lost the license.
Because they did do a Popeye game, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Later. It was actually one of the first launch titles for the Famicom in Japan.
Oh, right. I've never played the NES version of that.
No, it's pretty good.
I know it's quite a playable game on the arcade and that.
Yeah.
And then Mario Brothers, that came after, obviously, Donkey Kong. And I was a great fan of
that. Donkey Kong 2 came out.
Donkey Kong Jr. Son has to rescue it from Donkey Kong from Mario. Yeah. That's right, that's the only game Mario's a baddie.
That was the first game that Mario was mentioned as Mario.
Right, it was also the first game
that Mario became a bad guy.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's the only game he's a bad guy, really.
Yeah, the only game.
And that's not a bad game. I mean, I never thought it was as good as the first one, but it's still pretty good.
Oh, yeah. But it did not appear in Donkey Kong 3. It was replaced by Stanley the Bugman.
That was... I don't know. I don't like Donkey Kong 3 at all. I don't think that works as well.
I like it a bit, but I don't really like it that much.
No, it's like a sort of different game. I've only played the first level on it, where you shoot up at the things, don't you? Bugs.
Shoot up his butthole.
And then Mario Brothers come out. Might be 1983. That's all right. That's sort of like you said when we were talking earlier. It's kind of like a different take on the Joust game.
Yeah.
What company done Joust? Midway, I think.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's not a bad game. You know, you just knock the bugs over and then run over and kick them off the side of the thing. And you two-player, Mario and Luigi, and yeah, it's alright, I suppose it's fun enough, but yeah, never a massive fan of it. It weren't until Super Mario Brothers that I started liking them games more. As I say, played it a lot in the arcade, and it's got loads of like hidden warps, you know, secrets on it, and it's a really, for the time, no other platform game had so much to it.
No, because it was like one of the earlier side-scrollers as well.
Yeah, that's right. And obviously it got ported to the Super NES. I mean, the NES and the Super NES in the future, it got onto that.
Yep.
But other companies wanted to convert it to the 8-bit systems, you know, use Commodore 64 and that. But yep, Nintendo had never let them.
No, because you have to pay a license fee. I don't know why Nintendo never really let them, really. Probably the one who wanted to make Mario just for their own consoles, really. Because actually, Mario is actually now the Nintendo's mascot.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
But it would have been a good idea, really, because they'll get more exposure to the people, really.
And make more money. It's like,
yeah, they should have done that, really.
See, that's what irritates me with consoles, when they just have exclusives.
Yeah.
Because Microsoft wanted to do that with Street Fighter 4, and obviously, like, Capcom said, no, you can't. No, we want it to be on everything, including the PC, because they're going to make more money. It makes more sense, like, in a business thing, to have it on more systems than, especially now, this day and age, whereas they're going to be good ports anyway. Anyway, we're going off the topic again, like I always do.
Yeah, so Super Mario Brothers was developed by Nintendo's EAD, and it was produced by Shigeru Miyamoto at the same time. He was also developing the first Legend of Zelda game at the same time. Now, the story of Super Mario Brothers 1 is that one day King Bowser Cooper, the great powerful leader of the mystical Koopa Trooper, invaded the peaceful Mushroom Kingdom. He and his Koopa Troopers are jealous of the beautiful kingdom, and King Bowser decided to take it for himself. To do this, Bowser casts an evil spell upon the kingdom, transforming all the inhabitants into blocks. So, let me get this straight. You know the blocks you can smash when you get the mushroom and you're being big?
Yeah.
So technically, we are killing the inhabitants of the Mushroom Kingdom.
See, I never knew that much about the storyline to it.
No. But I felt it was, are we killing them? Weird. And we sent over practical objects in the foretold that only the Mushroom Kings. You never actually see the Mushroom King. We know he exists, but
yeah, well, you only see the princess, don't you? And
yeah,
the little ones. Are they called Toad?
Yeah,
I know they are in the cartoon. Yeah.
Well, basically, Princess Peach, also known as Princess Toadstool, basically she won't call Princess Peach until Super Mario 64, can undo the spell. Knowing this, Bowser immediately kidnaps her. Fortunately, the heroic Mario brothers, Luigi and Mario, learns about the Mushroom Kingdom, pledge and the race to rescue. Now, the player takes the role of Mario if you're player one, but if you could choose a second player, you play as Luigi, which is he was in the green and white overalls. And Mario actually didn't start out in his blue and red overalls. He actually started out in red and brown colours.
Yeah, that's right.
But when you go to the fire flower, it'll turn into his red and white. This was basically the first. The power-ups you get in the game are actually the Super Mushroom that made Mario small into Big Mario. Fire Flower makes turn Mario into a shoots fireballs out of his hands. And also you get a Star Invincibility that makes you invincibility for a short period of time, and you can knock out enemies. If you knock some enemies out, you will get a extra life.
Yeah, and you collect the coins as well, and if you get 100 coins, you get an extra life. Well, exactly. 99, and then the next one, a bonus life.
Yep. But also, there are hidden blocks around the levels of the eight worlds you have to go through to get to the next world. There are actually eight stages in each eight of the worlds. Every fourth stage of the worlds, you fight against fake Bowser. You can beat Bowser by using the fireballs, or you can go and jump and pick the axe up.
Yeah, which gets rid of the bridge bit he's standing on, and then he falls in the fire.
Falls in the lava.
And then you get that Toad say, "Oh, thank you, Mario, but the princess is in another castle."
Yes, everybody remembers that. If you look very closely at Toad, he looks like he's flipping you off. So basically, there are also enemies you have to avoid, like the Goombas, the Koopa Troopers, which also, if you jump on top of the Koopa Troopers, you can use its shell to knock other enemies out as well. But if the shell bounces back, you will lose your power-ups.
Or lose a life if you're
not big. Exactly, if you're small Mario. also the paratroopers, bullet bills that come out of the cannons, and also everybody's favourite enemies, the Hammer Brothers.
Oh, yeah, they're irritating.
Oh, I could not stand the Hammer Brothers. Even though when you're small, you just couldn't really...
No, I know what you mean.
But also, you've got to be careful. You can actually go down some pipes into these bonus stages, but be careful. Some of these pipes might have some piranha plants waiting to bite your dick off.
Yeah, they pop up, don't they, on some of them.
But to finish the, you have, but also you can't lag around on the stages for a very long time. You must go to the end of each level and hit the flagpole before the timer runs out. So you really have to press up.
And it's the higher you jump to the top of the flagpole, the more points you get as well, isn't it?
Yes.
It's sort of, in a way, like on Pac-Land, the higher you jump at the end, the higher score you get.
Exactly.
They sort of nick that from Pac-Land sort of thing.
But you don't have to, but also a lot of people have actually can actually complete this game under 5 minutes by using the warp pipes and all like that.
I've never completed it that quick. I have completed it years ago when I had it, but I did use the warps, to be fair. I've never done every single level. But the last level, it keeps repeating itself if you don't go the right way through it.
Oh, yeah, then some of the world fours, you have to do like a certain puzzle. If you don't do it right, it repeats itself, and it can be very annoying.
Yeah, that level was extreme. I thought, first time I played it, I thought my cartridge was knackered or something.
Yeah.
But then I did manage to suss it out eventually.
Yeah, but then you know when you get to the end when you see Bowser's flames coming out.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But it does, you know, otherwise it just goes it completely in a loop until you do get it, sequence works.
Well, this game was so immensely popular, it has been re-released on the Game Boy Advance, it's on the Virtual Console for the Wii, it's also on the VDS Virtual Console. If you had the Ambassadors program, but you can also buy it now. And also, it was packaged with the Nintendo Entertainment System. It was also packaged with the Duck Hunt.
Yeah,
well.
That's right, yeah.
It was also packaged in a 3-in-1 cartridge with Duck Hunt and classic Trap Meat cartridge as well.
I've never played that game, I don't think.
No, it's like a power set thing. So
And then you had, obviously later, you had the port of it, which is like using, you know, better graphics than that because it's running on the Super NES, on Super Mario All-Stars with pretty much every Mario game, well, the first three, and another one we'll talk about later. Which I thought the 16-bit, you know, upgrade of it was pretty good.
And also, if anyone bought the Wii's Mario's 25th anniversary one, if you play through the game, all the question mark boxes are remade as 25th anniversary boxes.
I didn't know that. I've never seen that. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, they replaced the question mark boxes with 25.
Oh, right, I didn't know that.
That's only if you bought the red Wii game at the time, when it was 25.
Is that like a limited edition or?
Probably, I don't know.
Oh, right, I don't know.
But it's been released so many times. It's pretty much the most recognisable one of Mario game out of all of them.
Yeah, definitely, because obviously that's where it all started. And
that's where it all started. I didn't actually play Mario Brothers 1 first. I actually played World first before I went to first one.
Yeah, because you're a bit younger, aren't you? And yeah. As I say, when we had it in the arcade, first played it on holiday, and then the arcade near where I was at my secondary school, in there, like, and people used to queue up to go on it, because it used to be really popular.
Oh, yes.
And I do think it plays really well with a joystick, because a lot of sort of games like that don't.
Yeah, because I think some games like D-pad fit with the D-pad and the joystick.
Yeah, but that does seem to work all right.
Apparently, speaking about it, they actually did make a special version of Super Mario Brothers for the Famicom Disk System, which is actually called, I believe it's called, if I can find it, what was it called again? All Night Nippon Super Mario Brothers, which is basically in Japan. There was this radio show called All Night Nippon, and if you actually enter this competition, you will get a Famicom Disk of Mario Brothers, which basically used the Super Mario Brothers 2 engine, which we'll talk about a bit later, but the character's been replaced with popular Japanese DJs at the time.
Oh, that's pretty good. See, I've never actually seen a real Famicom in real life. I mean, I've only seen videos and, you know, on YouTube, but I would imagine you could still import one.
Oh, yeah, you can. you can. But it's like, I kind of like the Famicom design better than our NES design, really.
Yeah, because I'm surprised, you know, because in the future, obviously, with a Super NES, we kept the same design as the Japanese Super Famicom, whereas the Americans had that ugly-looking sort of squarer one, you know.
Yeah, they did.
So we should have done that, really, when we got the normal NES. Nintendo should have, like... But because it was manufactured by Mattel originally, obviously they probably thought, oh, well, if it's not broke and it sells here, it'll sell in the UK and that as well.
Because the funny thing is, if you had, like, a non-Mattel Nintendo game and that worked on a Mattel NES, it won't work.
Oh, I never knew that.
It mentioned on one of Guru Larry's videos, anyway.
Yeah, because I used to... I think mine was a Mattel one, I'm not 100% sure. It came with the light gun and that useless robot thing that doesn't really do anything.
Actually, speaking about Rob the robot, actually, he was the Trojan horse to bring the NES to the Americans.
Yeah, he could only play like 2 or 3 games or something. And I remember when I was a kid, I was really excited to try it, you know, and it was crap. And it used to eat the batteries really quick as well.
What did you do with the robot?
I think I may still have it somewhere as it goes at my dad's house. But as I said, which obviously no one knows that's listening to this because that podcast hasn't gone up, the spring's gone on my NES. So I'll have to try and fix that. It don't actually hold the cartridges down anymore.
Yeah, that was the major problem with it, because sometimes it bends the pin connectors as well, and you have to keep replacing them as well, which is also annoying.
Yeah, that's something I've got to look up on the internet when I get it back over here, you know, try and fix that. I wouldn't imagine it'll be that hard.
Oh, no.
But if it's like most Nintendo consoles, it's probably got them irritating security screws that stop you getting into them.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're moving on to Super Mario Bros. 2. Thank you.
Actually, which before we go to our Super Mario Brothers 2, we're going to talk about Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels, which was known as Super Mario Brothers 2 in Japan, or known as Super Mario Brothers 2 for Super Players.
Yeah. Right then, I'll try and find some information on that. I have actually played this, but never actually the NES version of it. Only the version on Super Mario All-Stars.
But it was only released exclusively for the Famicom disk system.
Ah, yeah, so there wouldn't be a cartridge version. That's why
disk version.
Exactly, that's why we wouldn't have played it.
A lot of people have complained that this version never came out because all we got was a different version, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Now, I'm going to basically say my end of the thing about this. I'm very basically glad that they didn't actually release this version over here. Because if you really think about it, I do like Lost Levels. And I do like Mario Brothers 2. But if you really look at Super Mario Brothers Lost Levels, it pretty much plays exactly the same. But only what they've actually done is change like the graphics a bit and jacked up the difficulty. And also you can play as like Mario and Luigi, which is basically the only difference is Mario can't jump very high, but his stopping speed is pretty good. But Luigi can jump very high, and his stopping speed's a bit crap.
Yeah, he sort of slides a bit.
Yeah, he really slides. And they've also added in a poison mushroom, which, you know, is a fake mushroom. It means if you eat that, you'll die.
Yeah, that's quite irritating when you get that, when you don't know where they are.
But a lot of people kept saying, oh, they didn't release it because it was too hard. But I don't think so. Because I think Nintendo didn't want to go the same way with Atari did.
Yeah, we're just releasing games that are pretty much identical to the other ones.
Yeah,
and
but it's like when Atari released the 5200, they just re-released Super Mario Brothers on it, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
And they kept re-releasing the same games, and it was flooded. The market just got flooded, didn't it?
And people got sick of it, and that's why they stopped buying them.
Yeah, that's why they crashed.
Substandard games like we said before, Atari's Pac-Man. The guy only developed it for like a few weeks or something.
Yeah,
they got
the Protac cartridge and just released it.
Yeah, just to show that it was, you know, possible to run on the hardware. And he says, "Oh, this is, look, it can run all right." And they're like, "That'll do," and put it out straight away. Yeah,
exactly. but the funny thing is, it sold over a million.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, I think that's got to be one of the worst.
But if I were like head of Nintendo, I would basically release it in Europe as more like not an actual sequel, more like a hard version of Super Mario Brothers. Not branded as a sequel, just branded as something for the hardcore players. If anyone's like Master Mario Brothers 1, that's how we'll put it branded as.
Yeah, or maybe do it like slightly cheaper or something.
Yeah,
that
like
way.
A cheap version, like, you know, like say like £20.
Yeah, like what they do, like what Capcom done with Super Street Fighter 4, because they probably thought, oh, we might not get away with this like we used to, so we're not charging full price for it. Which is, I think, it's a good idea.
But also, the reason why they didn't release it in America, because the then American CEO, Howard Lincoln, said that it probably thought it felt too cheap and probably being like gimmicky and probably didn't believe it didn't sell very well in America.
No, so we got this completely different version in the UK and America.
Yes, which is basically what was known in Japan as Doki Doki Panic. But originally, it was actually started out developed as a Super Mario Brothers game.
Oh, right, I didn't know that.
But they decided to change it to something else. I don't know why, I don't know, it was branded, it was developed as a Super Mario Brothers 2 game, but sometime during development, they kind of like just decided to go on.
Yeah, because you've got a video on that, actually, haven't you?
Yeah, that's I actually do, anyway.
Yeah, that's worth checking out if people haven't seen it and can actually see what it was originally like before it. They changed it so it was Mario and, you know, all the characters out of Super Mario games instead of the original characters that it was.
But I kind of basically, I do have a soft spot for Super Mario Bros. 2, our version. I kind of really have a soft spot for it.
Well, it is a good game, yeah, don't get me wrong.
I don't care what people say. Okay, it was a lie. Okay, we got trolled, we got lied at. But I really enjoyed it because it was the first Mario game I can play as Mario, Luigi, Toadstool and Princess Peach without even plugging a second controller in.
Yeah, and they've all got different how they control and, you know, different abilities.
I know at the ending was all a dream, But I know Bouncer wasn't it, and it was replaced by a guy called Toad called Wart.
Yeah, and there's some bosses where you throw the eggs at them and stuff.
Yeah, and also it was the first appearance of Birdo as well.
Yeah, yeah. It is a good game. As I say, first time I ever played it was on... Well, I didn't actually play it on the NES. I played it on the Play Choice. You know, the arcade Nintendo thing. They had that years ago, and I played a lot of games before they was actually out in this country on one of those in the arcade. And but I thought it was a good game. It was just like, well, it didn't feel the same as the first Super Mario Brothers.
No, it was like very different because like when I didn't play it until like Super Mario All-Stars came out. But when I first saw it, I was a little shocked saying it. Why has Mario got hearts? And why am I picking enemies up and throwing enemies and all that? Because I don't usually, first instance, you jump on them, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
When you see
them,
well, obviously, it's the first instance you do. But as soon as like you jump on it, oh, nothing happens, but you can pick them up and throw your enemies, which I think was really, really good.
Yeah, and it was totally different.
Yeah, it was a really totally different game. But a lot of people just, you know.
Yeah, didn't like it at all.
But it wasn't like until much later we found out that it was a lie, but you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But this was also the first time... but the funny thing is, Luigi was different as well.
Yeah, yeah.
This was the first time Luigi was different, because in the first Mario Brothers game, Luigi and Mario looked exactly the same.
And they control exactly the same as well.
Yeah, but then when Super Mario Brothers 2 came out, Luigi was totally different.
Yeah, because he's the taller, skinnier one. Mario's the smaller, fat one.
Yeah, and this was also the first Mario game, so Mario had his traditional blue robes and red, his traditional red and blue.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And Luigi also got his blue and green as well.
I think that came out about the same time as that Super Mario Super Show cartoon, if I remember rightly.
Super
I used to love that when I was a kid.
Hey, Bazanos, it's the Super Mario Bros. Super Show.
You watch it now and it's terrible.
Yeah, looking back at it now, oh well. But it was Mario. Who cares? Yeah.
And it had the same sound Mario effect when they jump and everything.
Yeah. Well, apparently the actor who played Mario was Captain Lou, he was a professional wrestler, but unfortunately he has died, so he's dead.
Yeah, that's cool.
Even the actor who played Luigi is still alive.
They were better than the ones they got for the movie. As much as a lot of Bob Hoskins, I just don't think that was one of his better roles.
Well, he said he didn't like doing it anyway.
Nah, he probably just done it for the money.
But now Bob Hopkins is retired from the acting now because he got Parkinson's disease.
Oh, bastard, I was looking forward to a Super Mario Bros. 2 film.
Just go to a Mario picture and say, hey, Bob Hopkins, can you sign this for me? He'll probably rip it.
Because I remember, you ever seen some of his like better films, like A Long Good Friday? I think that's the first film he was in.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him in, what would you call it, Hook as well.
Yeah, because he's a good actor. He is a really good actor.
He didn't really know about Mario until his son showed him the video game.
Yeah, it's probably like, sort of, in a way, his kids that probably persuaded him to do it. Like what happened with Rob Julia.
Yeah.
Yeah, because someone that age probably wouldn't know that much about games.
Well, this Mario Brothers 2 did actually get a release in Japan, known as Super Mario USA.
Oh, right. Well, they didn't that original game get released anywhere then?
No, it didn't get released.
Oh,
Didn't get released.
Oh, right.
Well, this game, this Super Mario Bros. 2 game, was also re-released for the Super Mario, for the Game Boy Advance under Super Mario Advance.
Yeah, I've never played that one.
No, but it...
I think my brother used to have it, I'm not sure.
Yeah, they also included the classic Mario Brothers game with it as well. But you can also download it for the Virtual Console as well. And also you can download the Lost Levels for Virtual Console as well, if it's still on there.
Yeah, they do have some good things on the Wii Virtual Console. Mm.
But if you have tracked down a copy of Super Mario All-Stars or Super Mario All-Stars Limited Edition for the Nintendo Wii, you can play it on there.
Yeah, that's good. Definitely worth checking out.
It is really worth checking out.
They do some really good updates of it. Oh, anyway, yeah. we'll move on to the last title we're going to talk about, Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yes. Super Mario Bros. 3 was really different to Super Mario Bros. 4, because the reason why this was drastically different is because the Super Mario Bros. Lost Levels, the one that Japan had, didn't actually really sell very well.
No.
It didn't. So basically, the hard part of the game's development was trying to use all characters, but a new, fresh, and new ideas. So pretty much like Super Mario Bros. Revived the series, brought many new, young, and old fans back to the adventures of the Mario Brothers. Now, the plot of this game is that Bowser returns to the Mushroom Kingdom in his flying ship boat, and this is also the first appearance with the seven Koopaling Childrens. He sends the Koopaling Troopers, Larry, Roy, Lemming, Wendy, Iggy, Monty, and Ludwig, in several parts of the Mushroom World to steal the Mushroom King's magic wand. So every time you go into the castle, you see this, you see the Mushroom King into any sort of animal. So basically, with the wand, so they transform the kings into various creatures, but Princess Toadstool sent Mario and Luigi to stop the Koopalings and turn the king back to normal from the form. Every time you fight on the each of the ships, you have to fight one of the each the Koopalings. This game was first released on the Famicom in Japan in 1988, and it didn't come to America and Europe until about 1990, and it didn't come to Europe until about 1991.
Yeah, because I actually, that is one that I first played it on a PlayChoice, but before, I've seen this, because like I said on a podcast that we didn't upload, one of my mates when we was kids at school used to have like a corner shop right next to us, and we used to watch loads of films, you know, just watching for nothing.
Yeah.
So I used to hang around with him, and we watched a film called The Wizard.
Oh yeah, The Wizard.
Now, and that's the first time I ever seen Super Mario Bros. 3 in that film.
Yeah, that was probably the first time anyone sees Super Mario Bros. 3, and the first time anybody ever saw where the secret warp whistles were.
Yeah, because it gave too much away, didn't it, really?
Yeah, it really did. But that, I think that was pretty exciting, and anyone who starred in The Wizard probably seeing, oh, new Mario Bros. Game! So, yeah, The Wizard, yeah, it was pretty much the first time anyone saw it.
Yeah, as far as I remember, that was a good film. And then I tried watching it again recently, and I didn't think it was as good as I remembered it.
Yeah,
I'll put it that way.
California!
And he plays Double Dragon for about 2 minutes, and he gets like this score that is physically impossible for anyone to get on it.
Him just hitting the joystick, don't you? Hitting the buttons as well.
And some of the, like, I think it's got his old man on there. Is Christian Slater in that one? I think he is. And his old man anyway, he's playing this game, and you can tell he's not...
Oh.
You know when someone's acting like they're playing it?
Yeah, when they have to play a game. I saw one episode of Malcolm in the Middle, and Reese is playing the Game Boy. How can you play a Game Boy with no game in it?
Yeah, it's stupid, ain't it? It's a, you know, you pick up on these things when you watch them.
Yeah, so anyway, this one was considered the greatest game of all time, which basically it had all its complexity and challenging levels, made it a huge success. But this one added some new features to the Mario Brothers game. You basically had, for the first time, you'd be able to carry items as well.
Yeah.
When you visited the Toad houses, you get these items you can store, and then when you desperately need an item, you can just use it when you need it.
That's right.
And basically, it was the first Mario game to have like a map view of level select as well.
Which they've used in a lot of them since then, in the future, yeah.
Yep, they did. And also, what else? They've also brought something new. They also brought everyone's favourite power up, the Raccoon Mario and the Tanuki Mario. Everybody's favourite. And they also brought in some new power ups like the P Wing. Also, this also brought the first time of the P bar at the bottom. When you run for some periods of time, it fills up, and Mario can also fly if he has the Super Leaf for a short period of time.
Definitely, I think it's one of the best Mario games myself.
I think so as well. It's pretty much one of my favourite ones.
Me and Tony was on about that before, whether we thought it was better than Super Mario World, and I do actually think that it is a better game than Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Even though obviously it's not running on the same hardware.
No, it isn't really.
No, unless you play it obviously on Super Mario World Stars, but then it wasn't originally developed for the Super NES.
No.
But it is definitely the best out of all of them. I've played that a lot more than I've actually. I don't think I've gone through all the levels on it, because it's a bit harder than.
But I usually save the P-Wings for the for World 8.
Yeah. Have you completed it?
Oh, yes, I have.
Oh, right. I've never completed it.
I have. And also, it's an interesting fact, if you listen to the warp whistles in Mario 3, you can easily hear the whistle from Zelda, from Legend of Zelda.
Oh, right, I didn't know that. Because that's one podcast that I couldn't actually do. Because I'll be totally honest, I'm not a fan of Zelda whatsoever. I just never got into them.
But surely after its release, it got a cartoon named The Adventures of Super Mario Bros. 3.
I've seen that, yeah. That was on Sky not so long ago. And I think they helped... what they called? There was this band. Milli Vanilli. Yeah, they helped them do something. And Milli Vanilli was exposed for not actually singing anything.
No, they weren't.
And then there was that arrogant. They said, yeah, we did, and proved it, and they couldn't sing at all.
Oh, no, they couldn't. What else did they bring to the series? Also, funny thing is, when everyone played the Super Mario Bros. 2, Luigi was same as Mario again, but with a different sprite colour, not in his tall version.
No, that's right, yeah.
Because I think basically the reason why is that, you see, because in Japan, their Super Mario Bros. 2 was out there, and they probably think, like, well, nobody will know the difference, but since we had the other Super Mario Bros. 2, we didn't notice the difference.
Yeah, and it's quite, you know, it's quite, yeah, you can tell straight away.
Well, it did get a re-release on the Game Boy Advance again, on the Super Mario Advance 4.
I've never played that one, neither, as I say. There's not a lot of... I've never really played that many Game Boy Advance games, so I've never owned one myself.
But it's also on the Wii's Virtual Console as well, so you can download it.
Yeah, it's definitely... all the Super Mario Bros. Games are definitely worth checking out.
Oh, yeah, they are.
As I said before, I personally... While I like other games that are similar, you know, like Sonic the Hedgehog and... there's a lot of games that are similar, aren't they? I don't think none of them are actually got as much depth. You know, Sonic the Hedgehog has got no depth to it at all, really, has it?
Well, I like the Sonic Hedgehog games anyway.
Oh, they are good. Yeah, don't get me wrong, they are good. But there's not as much to it as like Super Mario Brothers. You know what I mean? It's just like there's not as many secrets and things like that.
Oh no!
I don't know whether you've seen one of my videos, but I accidentally uploaded it with the wrong intro. Well, it's got Tony saying things like that and things like this.
It's all good in the long run.
I haven't got him saying that, but I would have that on it and have it at the end of the video.
Also, I forgot to mention, this also marks the first appearance of the Boos as well, and the Drybones as well, and the Thwomps, and also the Chain Chomps, including the Virus Fire Traps as well.
Yeah.
Well, Super Mario Bros. 3. Probably a good game to download. It's a really good one to get.
Yeah, definitely a classic, worth checking out.
Yep, it is definitely a worthwhile.
See, God. I don't know, after that, like, as I say, it went on to the Super NES games, and yeah. I've never played Mario 64, I've never ever seen it. Well, I've seen it, I've never actually seen it.
You never played Super Mario 64?
No, never played that, because I never had a Nintendo 64.
When I first saw Super Mario 64, I was blown away that you're not in this side scroller thing anymore. You're in this open world now. It's just immensely amazing.
Because there's a Game Boy Advance port of that, I think.
No, that's a DS port.
Oh, it's a DS. Oh, I knew, because my brother had it on something. I knew it was one of them. That's the ROM or. See, you don't see Nintendo 64s for sale that often. I nearly got a GameCube the other day.
It's GameCube, not GamesCube.
Yeah, I nearly got one of them. £20 in cash converters, yeah. The box and everything.
Really? £20? I should have got it.
Yeah. I might go back there, because it's open Sunday. I might go and get it tomorrow. Because I had a GameCube, or GamesCube, whatever you want to call it, and... The only game I ever had for mine... No, I'll tell a lie. I had two games. I had some crappy Wu-Tang Clan... No, not Wu-Tang Clan. Someone with rappers in. You know, like all these rappers... Snoop Doggy Dogg, Warren G, you know...
D.D. Def Jam, is it called?
Yeah, that's probably it. Anyway, it was rubbish. And Metal Gear Solid. That's the only two games I ever had for it.
Well, obviously you have Twin Snake anyway.
Yeah, that's the main reason I bought it.
Well, I can't find a cheap copy of Twin Snake anywhere.
No, I've never seen it since, neither. Because, that'd definitely sell it for me again, like.
Hey, by any chance, did you see the new episode of South Park?
No, not yet. Still haven't watched it. I'm going to have to check it out, definitely, because I'm a massive fan of South Park. You know, I've seen every episode, pretty much. Mm. That's how sad I am.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'd say majority of them are good. There's only a few episodes I don't like.
Well, there are some good. There are always bad and good episodes anyway.
In anything, yeah, because obviously any show really, they do have some that are crap. Because you can't get it right all the time. Same with like podcasts, I suppose.
Yeah. But there's one thing that I have to say this. When I played the pyramid level on Super Mario Bros. 3, I did not know how to get through the door. No. I couldn't even find the door. because I was looking at the pyramids and I couldn't see the door because it was blending with the background. I couldn't really see the door very well.
No. See, last time I played it, it was a while ago. I'm going to have to go through these games again. Definitely, because, I mean, they're definitely worth checking out, and I'd recommend them to anyone listening.
I recommend the first three to anybody.
Yeah, even the Lost Levels is pretty good.
Yeah, Lost Levels. If you really want a challenge, go for Lost Levels.
Yeah, because it is really hard. Anyway, I think we'll wrap this show up, mate.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about the Mario Brothers film, but I think we talked about that a bit too much.
Well, don't bother. That's the best review for
one
that.
One word of advice. I can't believe it. I liked it when I was younger. But for the love of God, do not watch it.
Well, it's a good job. As I say, the next podcast, if I get a chance to talk, go, you know, do it with Potty Boy, will be about Tekken. And the Super Mario Brothers film is better than the Tekken film. At least I've watched it.
But just don't go up to Anthony Hopkins and give him the picture of him as Mario. Oh God, he'd probably rip it. Because I've also read somewhere, originally at one point, they were going to put like a dinosaur creature in Mario Bros. 3, but I think he couldn't do it due to hardware limitations.
Oh, I didn't know that.
See, it's one thing about the internet, you can learn some very unique things, can't you?
Oh yeah, you can find anything out, pretty much.
Also, originally, they were going to put like a power-up that you could be a centurion at one point.
Oh, right.
Instead of being where the Tanuku, so you're actually going to be like a half-man, half-horse.
Yeah. I don't know whether that would have worked, though.
It might have worked.
Yeah. Because there's other platform games that I do like the sequels I've never played, where you sort of change into, like, you know, different creatures and that. Like Wonder Boy, I mean, I've never played the third one on the Master System, but Andy says it's really good, the Dragon's Trap or something.
Yeah, I play that.
The only one I really like is the original, but I don't think, like I was saying with Mario, that's not got as much to it as what Super Mario Brothers has.
No.
And it came out after As It Goes, didn't it? I think that came out 86.
I think
pretty
so.
Pretty sure it did, yeah. Anyway, we'll start rounding the show up. I'd like to say thanks to everyone at the Retro Asylum, Andy, Dean, Glenn, you know, everyone else, Tony, Potty Boy, who, as I say, neither of them are with us today.
Yep.
We need more iTunes reviews, you know, leave us a review if you like what we're doing.
Yep.
And
follow us on Podomatic as well if you like.
Yeah, Podomatic, yeah. And I think we're on Twitter as well. Yeah, I've got a Twitter account, but I never use it.
I have one as well. It's SpurgeonsGamer64. Follow me if you want. If you want to.
Check out our YouTube channels as well.
Oh yeah, check out our YouTube channels as well. Also check out Potty Boys, check out Just Like That, Mr. Tony's ZX Specstar.
Yeah.
Also, check out ZX Prackstar as well, if you have the time.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that, what Andy does. It makes me laugh. I like the... Did you listen to the last show that they did, when they were doing impressions?
Oh, did he do an impression on one of his shows?
Yeah, he done ZX Prackstar on it.
Oh, which one was?
It's the last show he uploaded the other day.
I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah, you want to listen to that. That's a really good show. I think with our podcast, though, now in the future, we might have to censor it when it's on the Retro Asylum. Because they censored all the swearing out of that and had a bleeping noise. So that's why I've tried not to swear that much.
We haven't swore today, have we?
I think I might have said shit. Well, I just have now anyway.
Also, I'd like to say I hope you recover from your gallbladder surgery, Andy. Hope you fully recover as well.
I was going to say that. Good luck with that, yeah.
If you're good in the long run, Andy. Yeah. All good in the long run.
I'm sure everything will go fine. I've had a couple of operations myself in the past, and I was really nervous about it, but everything went alright.
I just don't like going to hospitals.
No, I don't like hospitals at all.
Oh, no. Nah. I'll just leg it. Change the plan, leg it.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I've been Mark 1976.
I've been the Asperger's Game 64. Peace. So this has been the I remember a time that I was sitting alone and played my Amiga at home, gaming Maniac Mansion and Lotus Turbo, and you were following me and now I'm sitting on my ass doing nothing at all. I'm managing a port of gold, no chance in hell I would ever get bored of killing NBA in Dark Souls. Yeah, I'm a gamer forever, I'm gaming forever. Together with my life till I die.
Oh, thanks for listening, everyone. I'll change this bit. Oh, we'll go again then. I'm gaming forever. I'm gaming forever. Together with my ladies till I die. We are my gamer forever. I'm gaming forever. Together with my ladies till I die. I'm gaming forever. I'm gaming forever. Together with my ladies till I die. I'm a gamer forever. I'm gaming forever. Together with my ladies till I die. I'm gaming forever. I'm gaming forever. Together with my ladies till I die. Every time you fight on the each of the ships, you have to fight one of the each Koopla King. Each of the Koopalings.